Well, I think it's a incredibly hard thing to answer, and I think firstly it's not really my place really to be deciding whether you're worthy of being nominated or not. Obviously, I was part of an incredibly successful team, and a small part of that incredibly successful team that managed to bring the America's Cup back to New Zealand. But it's kind of more up to the sporting body to be able to decide whether who they want to nominate. And you can definitely see it from both sides. It's obviously, nice for the sport of sailing to have people making the finals, no matter who it is, in these kind of competitions. But, in saying that, it's also a team sport, which, there's plenty of people a part of.
Because Yachty New Zealand, Pete, you're well aware, they were most frustrated. They wanted you nominated for the reasons you've just spoken about, because it's great for aspirational goals for young sailors who see, your name up in bright lights. They look to you guys as a future budding champion themselves here. So were you made aware by Team New Zealand that they were going to be reluctant to put you forward above the team, as they say?
Yeah, well, when I was actually, it was right when we were finishing the leg, and like I said before, it's not really up to myself as to, it's up to Yachty New Zealand and the team. But it's something that, I'm obviously incredibly proud to be part of the finalists as Team of the Year as well. And, we did win it as a team, so I'm happy with that. But it's obviously you can see where both sides are coming from with Yachty New Zealand as well. Trying to keep growing the sport. It's obviously hopefully we've managed to inspire some kids into getting into yachting, into getting out on the water and giving it a crack. With what we managed to do it over in Bermuda, and that's what we keep trying to do.
Look, awards aren't what defines you. I mean, Pete, I laughed even when you won the World Sailor of the Year, and you're on video, you're on board the Volvos, and you sort of got up and said, "Oh, congratulations," and you went straight back to work. We know that's not what frames you as a sports person. But would you have felt uncomfortable if you had been nominated above your teammates?
It's kind of the same question as before. It's something that, at the end of the day, it happens from time to time, and obviously if people think I'm worthy of that kind of a nomination or to be in that finalist, then I'm happy to receive it. But it's definitely something that that was decided. But I think we've all moved on now. But it's we're just really looking forward to getting to the next leg of the Volvo.
Yeah, exactly, Pete. Let's get on to that. I mean, how have you found the experience so far? Speaking with your mate Blair Chook, a couple of weeks back when you got onto Cape Town, is it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty tight racing, and something that is a little frustrating at times when you've had a pretty short build up and you're kind of learning through the first couple of legs, and it's kind of that last leg was a bit frustrating. We got ourselves in a pretty good spot halfway through and kind of got into a pretty nice spot to push hard towards the end, and then just made a couple of errors with sail choice and moating across the South Atlantic there to let three teams slide by, and then kind of got on the back of the wrong side of a bit of an expansion as the fleet just kind of the rich got richer as we went into the finish. So, you kind of had no opportunities to get yourself back, close to the lead for the last kind of 5 days or so. So, no, it's definitely a pretty good learning experience. It's something that I'm definitely learning a lot, through this process. And that's kind of, obviously the results are really nice, but that secondary goal for me is definitely, to learn as much as I can, as quickly as I can, to so I can contribute to this team a bit better than I have been doing. But learning a lot off some guys that have done this race a lot of times, and really, really enjoying the role as one of the watch captains on our boat that I have got.
Pete, is that you being hard on yourself, or is it really difficult coming in, as you say, the first timer, the newbie, as far as this, because as I said, there's guys, as you point out, that have done this thing 3, 4, 5 times that have made a life out of going around the world. So does it take a while, I guess, much like the ABs, when you come into the All Blacks, all of a sudden you've got to find your position, you've got to find your confidence, you've got to work out where you fit in the team, I guess, Pete?
Yeah, well, it is. a similar sport, but like a different sport. Maybe it's more like playing 15 a side rugby to jumping in and playing sevens, or swapping over to the league. But it's something that, you know, a lot of the same skills really apply. You know, I think I help a lot in trying to make the boat go fast, and obviously spend a good chunk of my day driving. But also that decision making, trying to help our navigator and skipper Bowie. Get the boat in the right spot and position it in the right spot relative to the fleet. And, you're kind of, instead of, the normal yachting we do, where you can see the boats on the horizon, and, you can see what everyone's doing and engage yourself the whole time. Here, you're kind of a lot more racing yourself at times, where you kind of get an update every 6 hours if the guys are more than 8 miles away as to how you've actually gone, whether you've made gains or losses. So it's kind of, played out over a lot longer time frame, and to keep pushing yourself and the whole team really hard over such a long time period, something that's I think pretty unique to any sport. That last leg was about as quick as that leg gets, and it took us about 19 days to get up every 4 hours, push yourself super hard for the 4 hours, and try and get some rest in the off watch, and just be ready for anything that gets thrown at you. Was something that, it's pretty unique and still getting used to a little bit, but, really enjoying that challenge at the same time. And
it sounds hideous.
You definitely end up pretty sleep deprived.
I was going to say, it sounds hideous, Pete, when you think about that 4 hours on, 4 hours off, having to get out of the old bunk bed, you don't get to shower. I mean, all of this just sounds bloody hideous, Pete.
I think you'd love it if it was actually 4 hours on, 4 hours off. About half your off watches, you end up getting up and helping out with a sail change or a tack or a jibe, or something's not quite gone right, or there's so many things going on. So you might get one off watch a day where you actually get the full 4 hours in the rack. But it's something that, coming into this next leg, not sure for the people that follow it that much, but we've got an ice skate in that's pretty high, pretty far north at the moment. If you watch traditional kind of footage of these round-the-world races, they never used to have ice skates and just go down amongst the ice and go the quickest route, where now, for safety reasons, they try and force us north of the ice pretty much, so we keep us a bit safer. But it just means you end up jibing or manoeuvring the whole way down this kind of boundary. So it keeps the boats really close together, keeps a whole heap of manoeuvring. So it, but it ends up being super draining on the crew, so... we're all trying to get as much rest as we can at the moment. I felt a bit run down for, not quite sure why, for the last couple of days. So, I've just been trying to, rest up and get ready for the next leg.
Pete Burling with us. Pete, you must be exhausted, though. When you look at the year you've had, and I'm not just talking about, the physical demands of what you went through, but as well when you go through the America's Cup emotionally. I mean, we're starting to hear stories now about, the build-up to the Cup campaign, the pressure that was on, some of the breakages you guys were dealing with because you had this rock star as a boat. I mean, it has been a monumental period for you when you include the Olympic campaign as well.
She's been pretty non-stop, but, this seemed like... too good an opportunity to kind of to pass up. And looking back at it, I'm really glad that I took it on. But it has been something that, I'm definitely looking forward to a few days off, and I'm going to take the next leg off up from Melbourne to Hong Kong. Pretty much it's just a 4-day stopover. So actually on our boat, we're going to sub about 4 or 5 people just to try and keep people fresh, so we can push super hard on this league through the Southern Ocean. And I think that's something that we're planning to push as hard as we can to try and win this next league.
And Pete, finally as well, the other side of things, re the America's Cup. So it looks like the Chinese are on board. BAR Racing, Ben Ainslie was on the program with me a couple of weeks back. They want in as well. We're still hearing rumours out of the United States again about other syndicates. So all of that's looking good, but I guess we've still got to get this thing locked in for Auckland. Is it still nervous times for you guys, just wanting this thing to be absolutely in Auckland, locked in for 2021?
Yeah, well, I think for myself, firstly, I was really happy with the boat. It's something that did a lot of work with the guys, on the concepts. While I was back in New Zealand just before the Volvo started, and that was something that there was still a bit of negotiation going on at that stage with the Challenger record. But it seems like we've got pretty much exactly what we're after, and a really fast boat that's really renewable and going to be some pretty exhilarating racing. But I think it's something that it just has to be in Auckland. It's something that it'd be such an amazing thing for the country to be able to host that. And I think a fair few of us that still have memories from when the last America's Cup was in New Zealand, and seeing how many boats were out on the water, how many Kiwis got in behind it. And I think that really drives us to keep pushing hard in our sport, and keep pushing the boundaries. And that's something that really excites us. It's going to be good. And I think you just have to see how much every time there's a sporting event like this in New Zealand that the public get in behind it, and hopefully it's bigger than the Rugby World Cup.
Well, that's the thing. I just want people to remember what happened in June this year, Pete, where the country went absolutely stir-crazy. You're right about what happened in 2000. I just kind of feel as well, when the America's Cup stops, Pete, people forget what it brings to us. And it's almost like, we've moved on again. And we need to re-engage them, because you're right. This thing in 2021 will be epic.
Yeah, for sure. And, it's something that the racing will be really close to land. And, hopefully it brings the viaduct to life like it did when the Rugby World Cup was here. And I think that's something that, I think before the Rugby World Cup, a lot of people were thinking that how big was it really going to be. But I definitely remember being in Auckland in that period, and you could barely walk down Key Street, let alone get into the viaduct. So that's something that, it's pretty exciting times. I really love the 3D models they've done of what it could look like, just to show people what it could look like if it all goes well, and get people excited about it, because it's definitely a pretty exciting time.